This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Good morning, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be. You are here live with Dr. Jeff Werber, host the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio. Of course, we always run over, but that's okay, because I love answering questions. So I was rushing here. I thought I would actually be late, because I started my day at KTLA 5 in Los Angeles, doing a segment. It was started at 8:10 in Hollywood. And so I got out of there probably about 8:20. And anyway, fortunately, got here on time. I didn't think I would. I actually did a story and saying I may be a little late on my show, but hang in there with me because I certainly will be here. And sure enough, I made it. You know, one thing about crazy as LA is, if you've ever driven freeways in LA, you know, they call, for example, 405, the 405 parking lot. It's like crazy all the time. The 10, not much better. It used to be that, you know, heading east on the 10, going downtown in late afternoon, evening, it was empty because who's downtown? Well, now there are so many things downtown that it seems it's also busy 24/7, but not on a Sunday morning early. So I left for the studio about 7:15 and I got there in like 19 minutes, which I was, whoa, coming back was a little bit longer, but still made it here in time to be here with you. New York Yankee, I'm sure you're thrilled. The Guardians, you could say, wave goodbye to the Guardians. Or as many of us still refer to them as the Cleveland Indians. But anyway, yeah, that was good. 3-1 homer, 2-2 tie. That's an exciting game. You know, going into extra innings and then winning it at the top of the 10th, that's pretty cool. And let's see. So for those of us that are Dodger fans, actually, I used to be a Yankees fan because I grew up in New York. We moved here to California in 1962. So I've been here for a long time. That's, almost as long. Like I've been here for like, 60 plus years. So anyway, 62 years, think of it. So I was a Yankee fan. You know, the Mets, I think, just started as a team in like 1966 or 65, something like that. So maybe even 63. So whatever, there were no Mets back then. So anyway, the Yankees, congrats. I have now become, I'm embarrassed to say, a Dodgers fan, but I'm hoping that they can beat the Mets. I mean, can you imagine? They're both going to be great matchups for the Yankees, either the crosstown rivals or the long-term battle between the Yankees and the Dodgers. So we'll have to see what happens. Hey, JB, how you doing? And Adriana, hello. So anyway, the segment was on Halloween, and it was interesting. I came home, and I get a call from some people that happen to be watching. One is from one of my former associates, who is probably one of the top surgeons in Los Angeles. Veterinary surgeons. And he just ran. I mean, he's now retired. I mean, he's amazing. But apparently he just said, I was turning on my TV this morning to my favorite new show, KTLA. And he goes, there you are. So it was fun. It was nice to hear from him. And one of my other clients also had reached out to me having seen the segment. What can I tell you? It's fun. It's a great news team. I have to tell you, I really enjoy going to KTLA. And Casey Montoya is a client of mine and a friend. So it started through Casey getting invited. And now apparently they kind of like my segment. So I do a number of them every year. And usually it's going to be related to some event. It's either going to be a news event involving pets, which there have been many, or one of the holidays where there are a lot of precautions that we need to take that people just don't know, don't understand. I mean, a little thing we talked about today, we're going to talk more about it next week. We'll talk about a lot of the show next week about the potential dangers of Halloween as it's closer to be fresher in your minds. But black cats, I have a black cat. And there's a lot of like lore or satanic rituals. I mean, it's potentially dangerous. If you have a black cat, you got to keep them indoors. I mean, even if you have an indoor, my cats are always indoors. But if you have an indoor outdoor cat, and it's a black cat, you need to keep them indoors because people are really, really strange. As a matter of fact, a lot of shelters, and we'll make this point next week as well, they won't adopt out black cats at all during the month of October. They're nervous about it, and rightly so. So it's, you know, one of those things. So, all right, so let's hear some questions. I know we have some good things to talk about. 15-month-old pup diagnosed with pulmonic stenosis, rescued mom and entire litter, should rest the family have echoes? Well, there might be some sort of congenital issue going on here. It is unusual. So there's no doubt. Now, first of all, if there are zero clinical signs, then you have to say, how did you just diagnose it in the one? Obviously, there were some changes that led you to know that there was a problem. So the argument might be, well, look, if the puppies are doing fine, 16 months old, if there was a problem, we'd know it by now, and we have it. So are you probably safe? Yes. Now, if you really want to find out for sure, yeah, but you have how many puppies in the litter? It says the entire litter. I mean, you go in echocardiograms on a litter of pups, unless you know an veterinary cardiologist really well, who has a big heart, pardon the pun, he's a cardiologist, and is willing to give you a really, really good break on a litter of puppies, checking out. I mean, then go for it. If you can convince them that it's for a good cause and they can be really quick just to rule out pulmonic stenosis, then yeah, do it. I'm one of those people that really, preventive. There are a lot of tests I could recommend for preventive issues, but echocardiography at $1,000 or whatever it is, $900. I don't know if you have that kind of budget. If you do, that's great. But for what I look at it this way, for that kind of money, think how many healthy animals you can rescue and not have to worry about a heart disease. So it is what it is. But typically, I would start by something more simple, by listening, ausculting the chest. Are there murmurs? Any changes in behavior? Any coughing? Any buildup of fluid? Then, yes, those are the ones that I'd recommend. Whatever the symptoms were, and the one that led you to have a hunch, to get the diagnosis, if others in that litter are starting to do the same thing, then yes, on those puppies. To randomly do them all, I don't know if that would be financially sound. Glitter pigtails, I love that. Getting a make puppy at what age should be fixed? Well, a male, I would imagine that's a male. A good question. And I just got another text from one of my clients about that. So my feeling is that nothing earlier than 6 months. And I'll tell you why, especially in small breeds, because dogs that have a tendency to have retained deciduous teeth, those are baby teeth that weren't pushed out of the way when the adult teeth erupted. Now we have to pull those teeth. Ideally, if there is no crowding in the mouth and the dogs are doing fine, it's just more of an aesthetic issue and you see tartar building up in between the two, the adult and the baby tooth, you really need to pull those baby teeth. If they haven't fallen out on their own, they need to be pulled. Now, in cases where they were causing a crowding or causing a malocclusion or the adult tooth to come in an improper angle, then those need to be pulled sooner. But ideally, I try to do it all under one anesthesia, as long as the dog's mouth is still doing okay as far as the bite is concerned. So since we don't know, we won't have that answer until all the adult teeth are in, which it happens by 5.5 to 6 months. I don't like doing neuters before that. Now, let's talk about some of the other things, especially in large breed dogs. Now, if it's a pug, can you do it at 6-7 months? You probably can. But I like waiting until they're fully sexually mature. And in large breeds that have a history of potentially getting bone cancer, which are most large breeds can get bone cancer, there is a 65% greater incidence in long bone cancer in males that were pre-puberty neutered and a 35% increase in females that were pre-puberty spayed. So we've changed our thought process. And now what's happening is we are waiting to let them have, even in the female, one heat. Now, there's that battle between mammary cancer, which is greatest, all right, in dogs that more, well, I should say it's greater in dogs than people. 7 times greater incidence of breast cancer, mammary cancer in dogs than women. However, if you spay a dog before first heat, you can virtually eliminate it. It's like 98% reduction. If you let them have one heat and spay them before the second or before litter, do not let them have a litter on the first heat, then there is about a 88 to 90% reduction. Still pretty darn good. The reduction drops to almost zero if she's had that second heat. Therefore, you got to weigh the mammary cancer issue versus the bone cancer issue. And take a chance, let them have one heat. I'm okay with that. I actually recommend it, but it all depends. Now, if it's a small breed, then you can do it really much anytime because they don't really get, usually small breeds don't, we don't see bone cancer in small breed dogs. Freda, how are you? How are things in Atlanta? Okay. Have a cat with stomatitis. Ooh, I don't want to move all the teeth. We're trying a dog. Like, okay, that's a tough one. It really is. And unfortunately, in cats that have really bad stomatitis, that's where they become allergic and hypersensitive to their own teeth. So the gums get tremendously inflamed. They get gum infection. The mouth smells. The cats don't want to eat. It's a problem. And when it happens in all of the mouth, which it can, generalized stomatitis, then the treatment of choice has always been that full mouth extractions. You got to pull all the teeth. So if there is an alternative solution, I'm going to have to look this one up. I know an 84-day treatment, we do that for feline FIP. And I'm wondering if there may be some link to, as soon as you say 84-day treatment, that brings me to 540, GS541, which is, that is the treatment for FIP, feline infectious peritonitis, which is curative, by the way. And it's something, interestingly, sadly, not sanctioned by the Veterinary Association. The FDA will not approve GS441524, 441524 for FIP. So you have to get it. You got to do your own homework, Cure FIP, FIP Warriors. There's another one just someone told me about, which you got to get a trustworthy source. It's 84 daily injections. They also have an oral version. I'm not as familiar with it, so I'm not going to comment on it. But I can tell you one thing. The cats, my patients that have gone through this treatment, 84 days, have been cured. So it's unbelievable. It was developed by Dr. Niels Petersen, who was one of my professors at Davis. Now he's emeritus, professor emeritus, but it's amazing stuff. Okay, waving. Mama Sue, 7-year-old pug, suddenly felt bumps with scabs and hair fell out. Now has dandruff along with itchy skin. Anything we do to help her? So first of all, when we see that, it could be, I mean, there are a number of problems, often interrelated, ranging from just pure bad allergy with secondary bacterial infection. But also when I see these with a really dry skin, okay, so seborrhea seca, flakes, scabs, you pull the scabs off, the hair comes out with it, you get all this, what we call patchy alopecia, then there might be a fungal element as well. So what I do with these cats is I it's generally full body, antibiotics, antifungal, one of the allergy medications, whether it's going to be Cytopoint or Apoquil, frequent bathing, at least once a week, if not twice a week, with an anti-seborrheic, antibacterial, antifungal shampoo. When you bathe these dogs, that shampoo's got to sit on there for at least 15 minutes, 20 is even better. You know, think about putting Neosporin or a triple antibiotic ointment or bupirocin on a little cut, and you apply it on, and then you wipe it right off. How good is it? It's not going to do any good. It's got to sit there. It's got to invade. It's got to, you know, sort of get into the deeper skin. It's got to penetrate. If you bathe the dog with a medicated shampoo and rinse it off, or as soon as you lather them up, what can you expect? So you got to know. And don't worry. The dog can sit there for 15 or 20 minutes wet. It's a dog. It's not going to care. So if it's a big dog, you know, wash it like you wash your car. Hook it up to a little spigot. Hose them down. Cold water is fine. And lather them up. Let them sit there. And stay with them and whatever you want to do and rinse off really, really. When you rinse, you got to rinse really thoroughly. So that would be my recommendation to try that. Antis treated for seborrhea, bacterial, fungal, and allergy. And hopefully you should see an improvement. All right. Miss Daddy join. Bethany, hello, hello. Fluff. Fruit that can I give moderation every day to an elderly dog? Oh, I mean, there are a lot of fruits. But it's more with fruit. It's more what you need to avoid. So obviously raisins and grapes, no good. Anything that's very stringy, it's not that it's dangerous. It's that they can't really digest it. Dogs don't have cellulase. Cellulase is the enzyme that breaks down the long stringy vegetables. So for example, if it were okay to eat apples and you gave them an apple without peeling it, the apple will be digested just fine. They kind of like apples, but the skin will come out as skin on the other end. So anyway, you know, the most popular ones, my dogs like melon. Apples are really great. Vegetables, carrots. Now, things like avocado, you know, it's a high fat content. It's not like it's poisonous. It's not a toxicity, but too much is not like too much certain nuts. The reason why we avoid walnuts and macadamia nuts is that they're potential for toxicity and also causing pancreatitis because it's too fatty. So we want to be careful with avocado as well. You know, the thing was, there was a food out years ago, still out there, called Avoderm. And here we are talking to people about not using avocado because it could potentially cause pancreatitis, too fatty. And then this food comes out called Avoderm. But again, they do like the taste, and it in small amounts, it's fine. And they like it. And but you got to just be careful, not too much. Okay, Todd, how you doing? Steve, how are you? Let's see. Same source. Yo, so that's it. Okay, that's good to know. So I would love to see some Katzenepers. If you can send me, please, any information on that Muratol, whatever it was called, I would be interested to see, because as we know, I am so hooked on the FIP treatment, the GS441524. Say that 10 times fast. If there is something and there's a, and it works, oh my God, is that a great alternative to having to pull all the teeth? You betcha. And now, having seen the success of the FIP treatment, I would recommend it. My next patient, if I like the science, I'll even recommend it. Okay. So I'm waving. So, all right. We are going to break. It's 9:20. We're going to break. I'll stay here on Instagram. We're going to break here on Pet Life Radio for our commercial messages. And we'll be right back. So don't go away, guys, because I'm going to mute the show here on Pet Life Radio, and I'll come back and we can talk during the break.
Gifts for my pets, sparkle and love, under the tree from heaven above. Gifts for my pets, joy in the air, unwrapping dreams without a care.
Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to cattreetray.com. Bring home a luxury French bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pets. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to OverTheMoonJewelry.com.
Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams without a care.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back here on Pet Life Radio. So we're talking about, it was a good question, how soon can I bathe my dog, my pug, after topical flea treatment? So again, just to reiterate, if you're going to bathe first, you want to wait a few days before you put on the topical flea treatment, usually 2 days, maybe three. The reason for that is that the topical medication spreads through skin oils. If you give a dog a fresh bath, you've wiped away the oils, you got to give them time to replenish. As far as the other way around, you just put your topical on, now you want to give a bath. How long should you wait? I say 5 days. And the reason for that is that you don't want to wash it off, and it takes time to spread throughout the whole body. So you're defeating the purpose. But in general, I am not a big fan of many of the topical products, because most of them have either fipronil or imidacloprid. And those chemicals, though they had their heyday, they were great for a year. I mean, wonderful and safe, still safe, but they're just not as effective. The fleas have developed resistance. Just, it's not working out well. Bravecto, one of the four isoxazolines, does have an option for topical. And if you have an animal that you just can't give the medication, they won't eat it, or they eat it, but they then start to vomit right away. They're just obviously having a reaction to the chew itself, not the medication, but the chew. Then you got to go and give it a shot with the topical. And the good one is Bravecto. I sent you on Todd. Good. Anyway, okay. Oop, hold on. Can you comment on a high cost of pet insurance, especially for older dogs? We're getting into controversy now. Look, it's a tough one. I'm not a fan. All right. Now, I'm not a gambler. I have at least two conferences a year in Vegas, one pet Super Zoo and one vet Western Veterinary Conference. I can literally walk through that casino and not even throw a quarter into a slot machine. I have no desire. Sometimes it's a social thing. I may sit down at a blackjack table ready to lose $100. And if I lose it, I walk away. So if you look at the casinos, you look at, first of all, how cold they keep it. All right. You look at the lights, right? How the opulence, the employees, are they making money or losing money? Well, of course, they're making tons of money. And who are they making that money from? You guys. So that is really what is going on when it comes to pet insurance. It's a gamble. Now, most of the time that you are going to lose, they look for reasons not to pay. The reason it's so expensive as older dogs is because they know that the older dogs are more likely to get disease or be hurt somehow or have arthritis or something. So the first thing they do is they're going to look through those medical records and they're going to deny you. Like, for example, your little puppy has oral papillomas. It's a puppy wart, usually around the face, tongue, lips. It's common and it's a no-brainer. Then you go to the vet. Yeah, they often go away on their own, by the way. Sometimes you remove, whatever. Now what happens is 10 years later, your dog develops a skin tumor and they go through the records since your dog was born and they see that oral pap. No, I'm sorry, it's pre-existing. What is pre-existing? What's a skin tumor, right? What is a puppy thing that went away and they haven't had it for 20? I mean, it is unbelievable. They will look for reasons not to pay you. And there are all these little loopholes. So then what's happening is they're taking your money and this one's money and that one's money. And they're collecting a couple, maybe $100,000 a month. So what are they doing? They're investing it. Safe investments, 5-7% investments. So what happens when you make that claim and they end up paying, you have that dog with heaven forbid cancer, never had a problem. And people say to me, oh my God, the bill was, for $20,000. They paid, 16 of it. That wasn't even your money. That was the money they made on your money. So they're happy to do that. They still got your money. So what's happening is my recommendation, my alternative is self-insure. And that is what you do is you put away, you should be doing it when you have a puppy or a kitten. Put away that same $100 a month, $80 a month. If it's an older animal, start increasing it to 100, whatever you'd be paying as a premium and stick it in this savings account. It's like an HSA, health savings account that you've created for your pet. And then if you can, invest some of that too. So what happens is when you need it, you have it for the rainy day. But if you don't use it, which is what the insurance companies are banking on, then it's yours. So I've not been happy. I would tell you the vast majority of my clients that have gone through the insurance thing, when it comes to the next pet, I'm not doing it. So ask around. I'd be curious to hear. There's some of you going to say, oh, my, I love insurance because my dog got hit by a car and they paid whatever. Yeah. And if you're going to do it, by the way, don't do the routine care. That is 100% a money loser. What you want to do is do the accident and illness only. It's going to be a little less expensive. And for the basic things, you don't want to use it. If you want, still put the money away and do your HSA. But it'll be your own money. So, again, it's a soft spot for me, sore subject, because I've had the majority of my clients, I'm not going to say all, but the majority of my clients have not fared well with insurance. Okay. I'd love to hear your comments, by the way. All right. Do I need a variety of dog food for flavors? My little dog, she seems to stop eating her kibble until I change the flavor. Okay. Yes. That basically, I have five dogs. Two of them are a pain in the behind when it comes to eating. They will ultimately finish it, but they don't attack it. They attack the can, but not the kibble. Now, could I just try different flavors? I have. They're just not big kibble eaters. Ultimately, they'll eat it. And if one of my other dogs comes near them while they're not eating their bowl, so it's still got some food in it, then they start protecting their food, which is hysterical. What are you protecting for? You're not eating it. What do you care? So anyway, but it's still theirs and they're hoarding it. So yeah, if you have one such dog and it does eat, then you can eat one of two things. You can either play hardball, and that means don't change. And they'll eat when they're hungry enough, and they probably will. Or if every so long you have to change, what I would do is after two or three changes, try going back to one of the original ones and see if that makes a difference. But that's good. Victoria, hello. How are you? How are you feeling? All right. Fluffness Gruff. 100% of the pet insurance. I like this on the pet insurance. Although I will say nationwide are paying 90% of our adopters. Nothing, but yeah, it's good. So, and they, of course they want to do, sorry, nothing but good things coming from adopters about nationwide. Well, there you go. There's someone who, Mike, who likes nationwide pet insurance. If you've had a good experience, that's great. But again, I don't know what they're charging for little puppies, because usually with the puppies, they're trying to entice you. They're trying to get you in. So they make it really, really reasonable. And what's the gamble? How many puppies are really going to need some major insurance care? If they get parvo, all right, so then they may lose on that one. And Mama Sue, we say the same thing about dental insurance. Yes, that's another one. I've heard that. You go to the Delta Dental, a lot of the insurances recommend it or offer it. And the same thing, I've never won when it comes to a dental. Now, then again, I never go to the dentist. I actually just recently had a thorough cleaning. I had to get a new cap put on. Everything worked great, but, and it was expensive. But then again, I look at it this way. If you keep your pet healthy, and then you look, and I say this all the time, when an animal comes in and they have not seen a veterinarian in years, and it's time 11, 12 years of age, and I say, look, we really should do some lab work. I mean, it's like they're being 60 and never going to the doctor, never getting a colonoscopy, never getting your mammogram. I mean, it's, we got to do it. So I said, think of it this way. Don't think of the $1,000 on the major, the workup, the exams, the chemistries, the urinalysis, the x-rays, the whatever we're going to do, right? Look at it as think how much money you've saved by not doing anything for the last 7 years. You know, we'll get you one way or the other, but that's it. So yeah, 30 years in the dental field. That's good, Mama Sue. So yeah, no, it is something that is, it's a sore subject. I love the controversy. I love you guys to, you know, chime in, but it is something that stomatitis. I hate the idea of having to pull all the teeth in a cat's mouth. I just hate it. I think we're good, guys. Oh, it's called Muterol. So I'm going to check into Muterol. So we're going to check it and we'll go from there. So anyway, as you know, I'm fairly easy to get a hold of. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm easy to try to get a hold of. You got my emails. You got my, most of you have my phone number, but I guess it's because I am so free of giving this stuff out that I have a lot of clients, a lot of patients. I see upwards of 40 a day. And so, yes, I am busy, but for me, it's worth it because it's my golf. I don't play golf. I go to work every day and I get to marvel at my patients that I get to play with, but I will get a hold of you. And if I don't get it, I'm never ignoring you. That I'll tell you. If you send me a text or you call me and I don't answer, just bug me. Bug the crap out of me. Not that I'm avoiding my brain. You know, sometimes I get so many texts a day, sometimes 30, 40 texts a day that I got one early on and I just kind of forget. I'm answering all the other ones and I don't go back so deep. So I do apologize in advance, but I will get back to you. That I promise. All right. Anyway, have a great week, everybody. Next week, we will talk a little bit about more Halloween. If you have any questions about anything, send them to me, but always save them because everybody benefits from these conversations. Even people that didn't think that they needed to get information about that subject, they will appreciate it. So I know that for a fact. So save your questions. But if you have something that's burning or there's something that's happening with your pet that is serious and you need an answer now, don't hesitate, reach out to me. Okay. I'd love to hear from you. All right. Have a good week. And I'm heading, good luck, Dodgers. I'm heading to the Rams game today. And well, I would love to see the Dodgers and the Yankees. That would be a good one. I remember back in 1977 when it was either, I think it was 77, maybe 78, when the last time the Yankees had met the Dodgers. You can look it up, but I know it was in the late 70s. So anyway, have a good week. And those of you who have a happy new year, and if you eat a sukkah, enjoy. Okay. If you don't know what that means, reach out to me. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.